Lord for his spirit. And I thank God for Sister Arlene that's been with me for the last almost 11 years, 10 and a half years. She's just as dedicated to the ministry and to the saving of lost souls as any preacher. She's a prayer warrior. And many times God uses her in dreams and word of knowledge. And if the Lord were to give her something for you, I've known her for over 30 years. She was saved in one of my meetings many, many years ago, and eight of her family. And then I was blessed that when the Lord healed me of heart trouble and spoke to me to go back out on the field, that Sister Arlene was able at that time to go with me, and I didn't have to go alone. And I'm so glad that the Lord blessed me with such a jewel and a consecrated vessel. So if she tells you something, I want you to know it'll be from the Lord, and it'll help you, it'll encourage you. And I just appreciate her tonight, appreciate her ministry. Thank God for Pastor Gibson and Sister Nina Gibson. Isn't this wonderful to have a pastor and his wife that loves you and preaches the truth and will lead you? You know, Pastor, I thought today you went with the dreamer. You in this church have gone with the dreamer. You believed in that dream that God birthed in his heart, and the best is yet to be in this church. The best is yet to be. But it just I'm so inspired and so proud for you. And I thought today when I went in the room and I saw the flowers, I was wanting a piece of candy real bad. I told Arlene, I said, I want me a little piece of candy. And about that time, someone came in the door, and there were some beautiful flowers and a box of Russell Stovers, my favorite. And I told Arlene, I said, you know, the Lord told me he's going to bless me and raise me on high. And did you know he's done just that? God has blessed me. You know, it's not everybody that can just want Russell Stovers and God give it to you. You know, the Lord's been a husband to me. He's been a father to me. The reason I don't take candy for granted and Pepsi Colas for granted, I went a long time without it. I was raised very poor, but I was in the ministry for many years, and those things were really extra special blessings. And I never get any blessing like that. I think, oh, God, when he appeared to me in my room in a vision 5 years ago this coming April, he said your latter days will be easier than your former. And I thank you for your love. I said, Arlene, God's loving me through them. He's a father. He's a husband to us. He's a mother. And I said, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for your offerings. Thank you for your love. It means a lot to me. And I trust that as the days go by, and I feel like I've just started in the ministry. I really do. I thought tonight I'm just getting started. Hallelujah. It's just been a little bit over 40 years I started preaching. But I'm more excited tonight over what I see and what I know than I've ever been before. I just feel a new charge. I see such a harvest, Brother Harry. I see them coming in from every side. It's the greatest, most exciting hour of our lives, Pastor. We're fixing to really see the fish. Thank God. And not they won't be old bad ones either. They'll be some good fish. The Holy Spirit of God's led me as they play softly. I want the brother. I don't. Now you will excuse me. I'll have to identify you maybe by what you have on. But if the Spirit of God... this brother in the with the blue shirt on and a sport coat, and your wife has on a blue dress and a scarf around her neck. You kept coming to me, sister, and you, brother. Come up here. The Lord has a word for you. If the Holy Spirit of God speaks to me to lay hands on you, now I want you to know I don't know you. Don't know your names. Don't know anything about you. But as I was in the spirit tonight, God bless you, sister. God bless you, my brother. Come a little closer to me. As I was in the spirit tonight, I'm going to lay hands on both of you, but I just felt led of God to share this with you. I saw a lot of hurts and a lot of bruises. And I saw you reaching out. And the Lord told me, he said, lay hands on her tonight. And so I want to speak a word to her. I saw a lot of tears, a lot of frustration. Stand very close to her. I just sense angels all around us. My daughter, I drew you and your husband to this place. My children, I've seen the wounds and I've seen the bruises. I've seen the hurts that have been inflicted upon you both by those who were not walking with me like they should have been walking. My daughter, I'm going to use you. And my son, that vision that you and your wife have shared. That before the foundation of the world that I ordained would be, you're going to see that vision come to pass. I speak that no man and no powers can stop that I have planned for your lives. There's no spirit. There's no situation. That I'll move you. I'll do what I have to do. But I'll see that your ministries will blossom. And I'll see that which I spoke to you that I'll do through you. I'll do it, saith the Lord. And it will not be hindered. Ali kishela. My child, Akili Hinche. My daughter, I'll use you even in a greater capacity in the days to come. And the gifts of the Spirit shall flow through your life. Yes, I'm going to heal you, Yakaba. Inamahanda. From this moment forth, glory. You shall never be the same. But you're glory. Going to laugh and sing and fret not yourself over the yesterdays. Oh, do not be troubled over the yesterdays. I brought you here. I've ordained that you be here. And I'll use you. You shall see souls upon souls, the lost and the dying. And I shall give you words of instruction. And I shall give you words of wisdom. And I shall tell you how to do and what to do, but I will bless the work of your hands, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Ula kashela mahasita. Ula la 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 la. I see a healing going through your body too, sister. God, in Jesus' name, let the healing virtue of God flow through the nervous system. My God, in the name of Jesus, let the virtue of God flow through this, sister. Touch her right now, God, and heal her. I thank you, Lord, you're lifting up above the shadows of life. And God, from this day forward, it's going to be a glorious day in every way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand our feet and give God a hand clap as they return to their seats. Oh, can't you feel the Lord? Can't you feel the Lord? These musicians, God bless them, and these singers, they've always blessed us, and they're still blessing us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We bless you. I thank God for these musicians that have been so faithful. You may be seated, and the singers that have blessed us on, and all of you back there in the area of videoing and recording, you're a blessing. Tonight and this morning I saw the usher. Someone said to me, "Say, I'm just an usher." I said, "Just an usher." The first one that meets us when we get out of the car with that Holy Ghost smile. Oh, what an office to meet someone when they get out of the car and be the first one to give them that love and make them feel at home. That's why I feel so home here. There's so much love, so much friendliness. And these ushers just stand there and they just shake your hand. God bless you. What a high holy calling to work for Jesus. Park cars for God. Listen, they get their first impression when they get out of that car and come through the door. It's the warmth and the love they feel radiating from you that'll make a difference of whether they feel at home. You just don't know the importance of your position, but I believe you will from this night. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Father. I thank you for these. Lord, you know that I don't know these people. God, I don't know anything about them, Lord, except what the Holy Spirit would speak. But I thank you tonight that you spoke by the Spirit. God, I thank you that you're going to convict people of sin through the Spirit of God. You're going to draw them. Oh, I see them coming. Hallelujah. Coming to make new dedications and new commitments to God. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I cast you down and render you helpless to operate against that husband, wife, boy, and girl. Set them free tonight. Set them free in Jesus' name. Be loosed that you might serve God. Shall we say amen? I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings. The 6th chapter, thank you, sister. God bless you. Thank you. And I will be preaching on the lost axe head. The lost axe head. Reading to you from the 6th chapter of 2 Kings, beginning with the first verse. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. It was too crowded. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. And take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, and let where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Will you be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants? They said, Elisha, you go with these young prophets, these young preachers. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was failing a beam, he was cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, At last, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? Where'd you lose it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Elisha told him, said, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. Can you say amen? Now, I want you to see what's going on here. A bunch of young prophets and Elisha. These young prophets was out here and they were cutting down trees. And all of a sudden the axe head fell off of the handle. They lost the power. They lost what it took to get the tree to fall. They lost what it took to get the job done. They just had a handle left. The axe head fell off of the handle and it fell into the water. And I thought as I read this, I thought, my Lord, they lost their power. They lost their strength. God said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And how many is it here tonight? You have lost the joy. You've lost the power. You've lost the thrill. You've lost your excitement. This is what it takes to get the job done in our lives, in our churches, in our preaching, in our singing, in our Sunday school, in our ushering, in the children's church, whatever. It takes the power. It takes the joy of the Lord. It takes the tikahasaya. How many? You've lost it. You came to church tonight. But you don't have the thrill and the song and the excitement that you used to have. I thought when I read it about them losing, it said it fell into the waters. Have you lost your power? Have you lost your cutting edge? Have you lost the axe head? Has it fallen into the waters of worldliness? Could it be that since you found God, that when you first met Him and you were convicted, could it be that there's magazines tonight in your magazine rack that's grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Are you letting that wicked spirit out of hell tempt you and entice you? And have you found yourself sitting day after day, week after week, month after month, in front of a TV set? And oh, you used to be so cautious that you screened what you looked at. But so sly and such a deceptive enemy. Now you're looking at nudity, listening to ungodly, blasphemous remarks, laughing at perversion, fornication. Letting the nakedness and the lewdness and the filth and the rot gut mess out of Hollywood fill your den and your bedroom and your house. And tonight you came into this church, but your joy and your thrill and your excitement and your testimony, it's gone because the axe head has fallen into the waters of wilderness. Oh, my Lord. Some of you would not think of having a man parade into your house and pour himself a drink and let that woman parade into your house with not enough clothes on to make a blue jay a pair of leggings. You wouldn't think of letting that woman come into your house with a string here and a string there and pour their cocktails, but you're letting them in hour after hour and day after day and week after week. And used to, when they use the name of God in vain, it just felt like a dagger pierced your very heart, for the Holy Ghost was grieved. But now it stays on. Nobody changes a channel. Nobody turns it off. And the filthiness and the profanity and the vileness of it, it's taken away the cutting edge from your life. Can't do it. You can't do it. You'll lose your joy. You'll lose your testimony. You'll lose your thrill. You'll become insensitive. There won't be a testimony and a shout left in your soul. You cannot laugh at drunkenness and lewdness. Fools. Fools make mock at sin. You can't do it. You can't go out, Chanda, and rent. I don't go to movies of any kind. I don't have to worry about whether it's X or P or R or whatever. But dear God, have mercy to think that people that used to fast and pray and sing and shout and read the word and walk before God and walked in close communion with God are now found at the video stores actually paying God's money to rent a filthy, naked, nudity, blasphemous, ungodly, filthy movie and sit there and look at it. God deliver us. God deliver us. God help us. God help us. That's where the axe head is gone. There's some of you here, the Holy Spirit has been convicting you. Stop tonight. Say no more of that filth. No more. You won't have much to look at. I'm wondering how long we're going to be able to look at the news. They can't advertise a car. They can't advertise a pound of butter without an ungodly, naked, filthy, vulgar-looking female or male with not enough clothes on makes you blush to advertise cars, butters, pencil, peas, beans. It don't make any difference. The world is puffing and puffing it 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 and says if we puff it long enough, if we put it there long enough, they'll look at it, they'll look at it, they'll look at it. The devil. You've lost your accent. You can't operate in the spirit anymore successfully. Daily Bible reading has been forgotten. That secret place of communion has long since been forgotten. The fasting, naturally, if your heart's condemning you, You put aside your fasting. You say, I bought it to look at religious programs. I don't dispute that. I believe that a lot of Christian people got it for that reason. But oh, how we've been tricked, and how the devil has done a good job on over half of Pentecostal people. They bought it with good intentions, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself walking a road to hell with no joy, no testimony, no victory. And the devil has sapped it out of your never dying soul. He said, I've lost it. Have you lost your song? Have you lost your burden? Have you lost your thrill? Have you lost your excitement? Have you lost that closeness with God? Are you losing it? The man admitted that he lost it. He acknowledged it was borrowed. He was willing to return to where he lost it. He was willing to trust divine power to recover it. And he put forth his hand and took it. I want you to know something. He was involved in a noble work when he lost it. They were building a Bible college. He didn't lose it in a hellhole or a honky-tonk. You know, Pentecostal people always thought, oh, if you go to a honky-tonk and a dance, oh, yeah, you'll lose it there. I don't disagree with that. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen a lot of people lose it building churches, Bible colleges, teaching Sunday school and preaching. I've seen them lose it going to church in and out of swinging doors. They were building a Bible college. Bitterness. Ill will. Something said, bitterness took a hold of you. A misunderstanding. You've never been the same since. There was a crack into your testimony and into your spirit. You allowed that thing to brew. You allowed it to just eat at you and fester like an old filthy sore. And tonight, you don't have your joy. You don't have your song because you lost it. You lost it teaching Sunday school. You lost it preaching. You lost it shaking hands. You lost it conducting prayer meeting. You lost it in children's church. You lost it in a good work. In a good work. You see, the devil, he's an old devil. He's an old devil. He don't care how long you've shouted. He doesn't care how long you've spoken tongues. He doesn't care how long that you've carried a Bible under your arm. He's after you to get your axe head. He's after you. He's after you. He's after you. He's after you. Look out. Look out. Look out. Look out. He's after you. He's after your power. He's after your testimony. He's after your song. He's after your ministry. He's after you. He'll get you any way he can get you, but he's after Kobayashi. Was lost. There's no future in going on without an axe head. I want to ask you this tonight. Don't you think you're talking about a revival and a move of God? If everyone in this church, irrespective of who you may be, would look God, as it were, in the face and say, God, I refuse to teach another class. I refuse to sing another song. I refuse to teach another class. I refuse to preach another sermon. I refuse to hit another key. I refuse to strum across another string. I refuse to shake another hand until I get my axe head back. I'm not going to be out here. I thought, a pastor, the church world has lost something and that can't be refuted. And the Holy Spirit of God dealt with me. You know what's wrong with the church world tonight? Half of them are beaten on trees with nothing but handles. I used to cut kindling. That was my job. Oh, God, they're beaten on trees with bare handles. And I've been to conventions and been to meetings. And it sounded like that we were at a Ford meeting or some kind of a GMAC meeting. They called in this meeting. They would talk about how to make the axe handle more effective. They talk about polishing the axe handle. They talk about how to improve our swing. Then we take a census of the trees. Everybody take a census of how many trees there were. And then they'd motivate us, the wood choppers. And they'd say, this is a day for cutting down trees. And then I've heard them say, and I've seen the ministers, and I've seen the teachers, and I've seen the church workers embark on the forest with polished axe handles and persuasive personnel. We embarked toward the woods, and we didn't have nothing but a handle. They never talked about the head and the power and the joy. They encouraged us, incited us, and tried to motivate us. And we had our handle. And dear God, no prayer meetings, Sunday schools, barren altars emptied. The blight was upon our gardens. We need to hear what thus saith the Lord. We need to hear how to get the power and the supernatural and the glory and the smile and the move of God. Listen, we don't need to hear about more programs, how we can do it. We need to hear how God will do it through us with an axe handle, with an axe head on our handle. Say amen. Then how long have we seen the movement without might? There's a lot of noise. All those handles, they were swinging them, and this one was trying to swing his better than that one over there in a certain way to swing it. And I've heard the noise, and I've seen the energy, but there was no effectiveness. There wasn't any trees falling. You're not going to get a tree to fall with a polished axe handle. You're not going to know. No chips are going to fly with a handle. But we've got to have the axe head. We've got to have the sharp edge. We've got to have the power. We've got to have the move of God. We've got to have direction. We've got to have the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, and then with bruised hands and tired bodies and wounded trees. You beat on a tree with a handle, they're going to get hurt. They've left the forest. Ministers have left. Christian educational leaders have left. Royal Rangers leaders have left. Deacons have left. Because they were tired. And their hands was bruised. And they were tired of hitting things with a handle. But you don't have to be tired. Father God's here tonight. When Elijah looked at him, he said, dear God, I've lost my axe handle. He admitted that he lost it. Did you know tonight that we're ready? It seems like in a lot of churches, we're ready to try anything rather than to admit a lack. We need to see the state of emergency. We're in a state of emergency in the church world tonight. We need to shut down the business until the axe head's found. Never would have come off if it hadn't gotten loose. And never would have got loose if we hadn't been careless with it. You know, Papa taught me when I was growing up, he said, check that axe head every now and then. Make sure it don't get loose on that handle. And if it does, drive your wedge down there. Get that thing tight. Amen. That thing will come off, hit you in the head. A lot of them has come off in church and hit a lot of people in the head. Say amen. He said, I've lost it. You know how to get God to bring a miracle into your life? Admit that you've lost it. Admit, I have a need. I'm desperate. I don't have that power. I'm not seeing any chips fly. I'm not seeing any lives moved. I'm not seeing the move of the Holy Ghost. I'm not seeing what my heart cries out to see. There's no trees falling. I'm hitting them. But there's a power. There's a goal. There's something that's in my life. I need for God to touch me anew and afresh. I need a fresh move of God's Spirit. Give God a hand clap. I sense something here. He said, I lost it. You know where you lost it. No preacher has to come and put their finger on your head and say, you don't have the joy and you don't have any victory. You don't have a song in your heart. There's no glow in your countenance. You know, if you're finding pleasure in things that are ungodly, you know tonight, if you've been absent from the prayer room, you know tonight, if filthy magazines and true romances and true confessions have taken the place of the Word of God. You know tonight, if that TV has become an idol to you. You ever notice how every chair is always turned toward it? Everything's angled toward the one-eyed monster. And have you ever noticed how that we used to have time to talk, time to visit, time to read the Word of God, time for morning prayer, time for altars at night? But now I got to look at something, you got to look at something, he's got to look at something. When you're through, it's my program next, and it's your program, and his program, their program, our program, and it's program, 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 until it's 10 and 11 at night and 12 and 1 in the morning, and no one has read the Bible, and nobody's prayed, and nobody's spoken tongues, and nobody's talked about God, and we're empty, and we're empty, and we're empty, and we're empty, and we're cold, we're cold. Oh God, give us back the access. He said, I lost it. Right there. I lost it. When I pushed prayer and Bible reading and going to church, you tell me what your priorities are tonight, and I can tell you what kind of man and woman you are. What are your priorities? Has the cares of life sapped you? You know, in the little trivial, mundane things of our life, has it pushed God back in the corner? You mean to pray? You every morning you say, I'm going to pray. I'm going back to Bible reading. I'm going back to Wednesday night. I'm going back to Sunday night. I'm going to give God a tenth of everything that's put into my hands. I believe you're sincere. I believe that you mean it. But every demon out of hell, everything comes up. The floor has got to be mopped. The curtains have got to be ironed. The sheets have got to be changed. The dishes have got to be washed. I've got to call this one. I must write this letter. And this precious Word of God is left unopened. Week after week and month after month. Until all we've got left is a handle. And we're trying to polish it and swing and make a good show. So people won't know that we've lost the glory and the power and the joy and the burden and the thrill. He said, I lost it right here. I'm going to tell you this tonight. The best way to end a human mess is with a divine miracle. The best way to end the mess of your life. You know why your marriages are not going right? You need a miracle tonight. You need to be refreshed. You need that power. You need that axe head back on your handle. You know why? That your life is getting more perplexed, more problems, because you fail to seek him. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, listen to me. We failed to pray. We failed to turn it over to Jesus. We failed to confide in Christ. Listen, marriages will never last without God. It's too much against them. It's too much against them. You're going to have God. To make anything in your life work, you're going to have to ask God, because Jehovah, he said, I lost it there. And I'm going to close with this thought in mind. When he admitted his loss, when he showed him where he lost it, the Bible said, the man of God said, where did it fall? Here. I got in a fight with my husband. I got in a fight with my wife. I got in a fight with the preacher. I got in a fight with the Sunday school teacher. I got in a fight with this one and that one and the other. I lost it in worldliness. I lost it through TV. I lost it through bitterness. I lost it through unforgiveness. I lost it through ill will. That's where I lost it. I've never been the same since. I let that thing down me. I just about let it drag me to hell. She did me wrong. He did me wrong. They did me wrong. And I about let it take me to hell. He said, I lost it right here. The Bible said that God, listen tonight, when you admit that you're not
where you ought to be. You're not where God wants you. That you've lost the axe edge. You've lost the sharpening edge of your experience. When you admit that you need God, He'll work a miracle to help you. There's nothing that God won't do to intervene for you. If you'll admit that you have a need, He'll meet the need. All of a sudden, he said, the prophet of God said, throw in a stick. And I see that waters. Oh, hallelujah. All of a sudden, it began to stir. It began to move. And you know yourself that iron don't swim. I see that big wedge of iron as the power of God hit it. And it began to come up from the floor of that water. And it began to head toward the surface of that water. I see that iron as it began to swim toward that man that said, I've lost it. I've lost it. I've lost it. I've lost it. I cannot go on. I cannot go on. I cannot pretend there will be no trees that fall. There will be nothing accomplished. I've got to have it. I've got to have it back. I've got to have it back. I've got to have it back. I'm tired. I've got to have more than a handle. I've got to have the sharp edge of the power of God. And that iron began to swim toward him. And the prophet of God said, reach out your hand and take it. He'll heal the broken heart, mother. He'll heal the broken heart. I saw a glow around you, my sister, with a black dress or blouse on. God said, tell her, I'll do it again. Just for her. Hallelujah. As the musicians come and play very softly, and every head's bowed and every eyes closed. Listen to me. You can't go on in the religious work and in your marriage. You've got to have the sharp edge of God's power. You can't get anything done with a handle. And you don't have to even try. God, tonight, will perform a miracle in your behalf. I'm going to tell you this. Akihisha, Holy Ghost of God said, tell them I'll change circumstances and situations of their personal life. Husbands are coming back. Wives are coming back. Children are going to be set free. How many raise your hands, all this church, and say, Sister Peggy, I for one will admit tonight that I need a miracle in my personal life. I've lost the sharp edge of the power. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. That's 30 or 40 or 50. Just keep raising them. Just keep raising them. Just keep raising them. I want my glory. I want my testimony. I want my song. I want my thrill. I want the excitement. I want my burden. I want the tears. I want the desire. I want God. I want the sharp edge of the power of God. I want every one of you tonight as they play. How many here, you'll step out of your seat and you'll come to this altar? If you're backslid, if you're growing cold, if you've lost the axe head, if you've lost the joy and the thrill of life, would you step out of your pew tonight and meet me in the altar? Come quickly in Jesus' name. Come quickly. All of you, there was over 50 or 60 people that raised your hands. Come quickly.
To you, oh, let Jesus happen. To you.
Let Jesus happen to you.
Only He can heal the hurt from the storms you've been through. Let Jesus.
Keep coming, keep coming. Jesus happen to you. Let's stand and sing it in the congregation. Let Jesus happen to you. Hallelujah. God bless you, son. God bless you. Come quickly.